Some of you are just joining us this morning and have not been with us the last week, so let me just make a comment to you, and then I want to make a comment to everyone. In his letter to some churches in the region of Galatia, Paul is astonished that people who had come to experience the grace of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives were so quickly abandoning that to which Christ had called them. And at the beginning of his gospel, he says it, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you to live in the grace of Christ." So if you've just joined us this morning, the understanding there is that God truly extends to all people both an invitation to live in the grace of Christ, but then also a calling to live in the grace of Christ, so that the process to enter into that grace is the grace of Christ. The process to live in that grace is the power of the Holy Spirit, and again, the grace of Christ. So we've been looking at this invitation. We've opened it up. We've looked inside as we've journeyed through the first four chapters of Galatians. And now we come to a section of his letter, which from beginning to end is about the freedom to which Christ has called us. And it's the understanding that the work of the Holy Spirit in us makes us aware not only of the grace of Christ, but makes us aware that in Christ we might have this freedom. Now, this morning what I want to do is to look just at 15 verses from Galatians 5, which begin to talk about this freedom. And in many respects, this section of Scripture gives us directions. And herein lies the danger for us this morning. These are not directions to get to freedom. These are not directions written on a piece of paper that you read and you follow, "Oh, now I'm free." These are directions given to people who have already entered into the freedom of Christ. It is to freedom, Paul begins that section, that Christ has set us free. He's set a person free through the cross of Christ, as we talked about earlier, and now he wants to give directions for how to live in that freedom. These are not a list of rules. This is not a to-do list. "Ah, now that I'm free, I got some new rules." I am terrible at directions. If you give me directions on how to get to your flat or this place, forgive me if I ask you a second and third time sometime later. But I'm very nervous this morning because the directions that Paul gives to us are directions that the Spirit of God in us is giving us. These are directions that the work of the Holy Spirit makes us attentive to even before we're a follower of Jesus. One of my greatest joys here is when I meet with some of you who want to explore Jesus more fully, you'll start to talk about the changes that are happening in you even though you do not yet believe in Jesus. And you'll start to talk about all of these changes happening in you, and you'll see me repeatedly smile. And the smile might turn to this big smile. And then the smile starts to turn to joy. And what I want to say to you, I don't. What I want to say to you, you're in trouble. Because the Spirit of God is starting to stir in you directions to the cross of Christ. He's starting to stir in you directions to living in the freedom of this grace of Christ. And yet you don't even know what's happening to you. You find yourself singing these songs and moved by them. And then you're thinking, "But I don't think I'm a Christian." Why am I moved by these songs? Yeah? You're finding yourself praying for your family members back at home, hoping that they would experience the joy of Jesus, and then you're thinking, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to pray that. You find yourself offering prayers for things that you never, ever had prayed about before. So, as we look at what Paul says about directions for living in the freedom of God, for living in the freedom of Christ, just be aware that these are directions that the Spirit of God stirs in you, and I'm just making you aware of through the words of Paul. They're not external directions. They're things that the Spirit of God stirs in you. And Paul mentions actually wrong directions. There's great room here in the front, and I am safe. Please don't be embarrassed. And leave some room at the end of the rows for those just joining us. There's not too many spaces at the end of the rows. We're going to get a few more chairs. So follow with me as I read to you these directions. And then I want to look with you at what he says about the wrong directions before we look at the directions the Holy Spirit is bringing to our awareness within us. So if you would, turn with me into your own Bible. Again, if you're new here, we invite you to bring your Bible in your own heart language. We try to stay with one passage. Once in a while, we dip to other parts of the same book of the Bible, but we try to stay within a passage so you can read it in your own heart language. Beginning with Galatians 5, verse 1, Paul writes, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all." And I want you to just, so I don't lose you, at this time, the mark of belonging to Jesus, or the mark that people were trying to say needed to be part of belonging to Jesus was the circumcision rite that was practiced by the Old Testament with people of God. Paul has said repeatedly, we've looked repeatedly in past weeks, that that isn't something that needs to be added to grace. But as you hear that word, just know that all of you, from your cultural background, from your religious background, even some of you from some of your Christian backgrounds, have the tendency to add something to grace. Paul is speaking here of circumcision, but you can insert your own word. So when he says, if you let yourselves be, something to add to grace. Okay, so just do that so the word circumcised doesn't lose you. If you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. If you let yourself add this, if you let yourself hold on to this, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, put it back, yeah? I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised, if you let your... I'm just too hot. If you let yourself be circumcised... That, look with me at verse 3. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. If you let yourself practice this one, if you say that's so important, you got to do it all. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus the righteousness for which we hope, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. It's of no more significance. As for these agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. I won't spend a whole lot of time on that one. You, my brothers and sisters, we're called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Would you join me in a prayer as we look at the directions the Spirit of God is working within us? Father in heaven, you have told us, and Jesus sent from you the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, and that your Spirit in us would bring to our remembrance what we know to be true in Christ. We also know that unless a person is born again by the Spirit of God, they cannot see the kingdom of God. They cannot understand the grace and truth in Christ. So we pray that you would make us attentive to ways the Holy Spirit is working in us, not simply as a community, but in us as individuals, even if we are not yet a follower of Jesus, that we would be aware that you are pointing us, Holy Spirit, directing us to the cross of Christ and through Christ into this amazing freedom. O Lord, again, we reject any lie that suggests that if we belong to you, we do not have this freedom. But Lord, we want to live in that freedom free. We don't want to live in that freedom as slaves. So, O Lord, open our eyes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I really need you to look closely with me at what he says are the wrong directions and the right directions from Galatians 5. So I'd really like to ask you to keep your Bibles open. All right. Let's look at the wrong way, the wrong directions to live in this freedom of grace. He says in verse 1, don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The suggestion then that the wrong way to living free in the grace of Christ is to let yourself be burdened again by any yoke of slavery. It doesn't say the yoke of slavery, but a yoke of slavery. And then he repeats it two more times in verse 2, if you let yourselves. And then in verse 3, to every man who lets himself. So there's the sense that Christ has brought you into freedom through Christ. And now I'm speaking to those of you that are Christians. He's brought you into this freedom. So you're in this freedom, but you let yourself carry some burden that doesn't belong in Christ. And you've let yourself do it. So you're free in Christ, but you let yourself not be free. Yeah? He has brought you this freedom. Oh, but I just want to let myself not be free. Right? There's this letting yourself not be free. But again, to carry this heavy yoke, this heavy burden that presses on your shoulders, that presses on your mind, that pulls you down, and starts to even lead you no longer to believe that you are in his freedom. He then goes on to say about letting yourself be circumcised in verses 2 and 3. And notice in verse 3 that to let yourself believe that something needs to be added to grace, that something needs to be added to the cross of Christ to live in the freedom, If you believe that needs to be added to live in that freedom, then you got to obey it all. If you're going to add a law as the basis to live in that freedom, then you got to do it all. You can't have Christ plus a law. It's either all the law or Christ who fulfilled the law. So if you let yourself say, but this is really necessary. I know it's grace. I know it's the cross of Christ. But it's also this. Then you got to obey it all. All of it. Then he goes on in verse 4 to give a broader explanation of this. You who are trying to be justified by the law, by your own acts of obedience, you who are trying to earn God's favor, you who are trying to enter God's grace, you who are trying to enter God's freedom, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. You who have been brought into grace, when you then try and justify yourself saying, I got to prove myself, I got to make myself worthy, you are alienating yourself from Christ, and you're falling away from the grace that brought you into grace. I don't think I need to explain that more. I think that's very clear as the wrong way to freedom in Christ. Then he says something about those who are giving these wrong directions to living in the freedom of Christ. Look at verse 7. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? So this word cut in on you is they hinder you or they detain you or they impede you. And he has this image of race. You're running this good race. Yeah. And who are you looking to in this race? You are looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. So you're running this good race and then someone, whoa, you cut in on me. And so you start to look at this person who's cut in on you. And they're saying, oh no, in order for you to live in this grace, you need this spiritual gift. In order for you to be in this grace, you need to belong to this denomination. In order for you to live in this grace, you need more faith. In order for you to live in this grace, you got to pray more. In order for you to live in this grace, and you start to look at them, and you're running, and the yoke gets heavier. And who have you taken your eyes off? Yes. Who cut in on you to detain you from obeying the truth? And the truth is that Jesus has set us free. It's not a rule. It's the truth that Jesus has set us free. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. That voice is not the voice of Jesus. A little yeast works its way through the whole batch of dough, and you know that, yeah? Those voices, they start to work their way inside of you so that your mind starts to become afraid. You start to wonder if Christ really is enough. Maybe his grace isn't sufficient. And you know, they pointed out my wrong attitude and the sins, and that unless I confess those sins, Jesus will abandon me, and I know that I'm not perfect, and I fail all the time, and I know I'm not kind to that person like I should be. I know I... Yes, it just works its way through the whole dough, and it mixes in, and the yeast grows, and you just start to know you're not free. I'm not free. I'm not standing in his grace. Christ didn't set me free. I don't know what happened at the cross, but it didn't work for me. And where is the love of God? Yeah? Everybody says, God loves you. I don't feel that love. Paul has some strong words to say about such people. In verse 10, the one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that might be, will have to pay the penalty. And in chapter 1, he said it even more clearly. He says, evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he says, but even if an angel of heaven Even if we or an angel of heaven should preach to you a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. So the penalty that he's talking about is that they would be under God's curse. And then he goes on to say some other things, which I'll come back to in a short time. But what he then goes on to say about those people is what he says in verse 12. And again, I don't need to go into the details of that. Circumcision was a certain rite done on the private parts of a male. And if you're going to believe in this, well, take it further. So he is livid, which is the point. He is livid about those people who try to trip you up such that your eyes are taken off of Jesus and you start to live in fear, which is exactly what Christ has set us free from. I think that's enough on the wrong way to live in this freedom. I don't think I need to say more, because every single one of you here, wherever you're at in your relationship with Jesus, experiences those wrong directions. You get them all the time. They come to you through people relationships. They come to you in relationships with people that are no longer in your life, but which your mind plays over again and again. The voices of people and communities that have tried to add to the grace and cross of Christ. And they live in you, even though they're no longer part of your life. They have wounded you. They have held you in slavery. It's the wrong direction to live in the freedom of Christ. I now want to highlight very quickly, so don't panic, 8 things that Paul says are the directions the Spirit of God in us reminds us to live in the freedom of Christ. So these are things that the Spirit of God in us says, yes, or says, yes, pushes us. So everything I'm saying which comes from this passage are things the Spirit of God stirs in us. They're not external rules. First, look at verse 1. Stand firm in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then. Stand firm in Christ. You've experienced this. Many of you have experienced this. When people are trying to trip you up in the race and you start to divert your focus, the Spirit of God says, stand firm in Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Yes. And what happens? As you stand firm in Christ, you once again start to experience the freedom into which Christ has placed you. Stand firm in Christ. And you start running again. I've said it in a negative way, but I now want to say in a positive way. The Spirit of God in you works with you so that you do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It's not in your own power that you try to be shaken free of these burdens that can be placed on us. Do not let yourself. The response that I have again and again is, I can't. I have no power in myself. But in the Spirit, He gives us the power so that we do not let ourselves go that direction. One of the reasons why the morning prayers are so important for this community is it's a time as we prepare for the day when we do not let ourselves come into this day without standing in the grace of Christ. It's a time where we do not let ourselves hold to any sin that might be clinging to us, but that we might confess it and be set free of it, that we would live in the freedom of Christ. So the Spirit within us stirs within us, stand firm in Christ. The Spirit within us gives the power such that we are able to not let those things said by people and in our own minds and hearts keep us from running the race in Christ. But there's a third thing that's then mentioned in verse 5 that's very, very important. Look at what he says. For through the Spirit. So if the Spirit is stirring in us these truths that I'm speaking to you, this is specific work now that the Spirit also does. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith. So through the Spirit, we become eager waiters. Through the Spirit, we become people of faith. Faith is a work of the Spirit. We await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. And then he continues the sentence, for in Christ Jesus. So the righteousness for which we hope is Christ Jesus. He is our righteousness. He has the one that has fulfilled the whole law. He is the one for whom we eagerly await, for which we hope. So the Spirit of God leads us to eagerly await, leads us to this faith in the righteousness of Christ, who gives us hope. This is the work of the Spirit. So, if I would add to a work of the Spirit within us, he awakens within us hope in Christ. He awakens within us an eagerness for Christ. He awakens within us belief in Christ. He awakens within us that Christ is our righteousness. He is the one at the finish line. We are not running to the finish line so that we can have this list of rewards for all the good things that we did and hope that we're going to come through better than our neighbor. No, no, no. The Spirit of God, as we're starting to wonder, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this race. The Spirit of God awakens in us. I see the finish line. I see Him. And there's this awakening. I can get there. Lord, bring me there. And then, oh, look at Him. Look at Him. That's the work of the Spirit. We are no longer living for some earthly rewards. We are no longer living for some future rewards except Christ. That the Spirit of God strips us of all the wrong things we're racing for and becoming pretty tired from doing. Yeah? And He awakens in us, living and running for Him. Spirit of God in us wakens that in us. And then we continue. Look at the end of verse 6, and we see a fourth thing that the Spirit of God stirs within us as we seek to live in the freedom of Christ. He says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. So we've already thrown that out the door. The only thing that counts is faith, which again is a gift of the Holy Spirit, expressing itself in love. That part of the work of the Holy Spirit is that as He grows us with this anticipation of Christ, He fills us with the love of Christ. And it flows from us in our relationships with others. So when some people say, you need to just have more faith, and they say it in such an unloving way, what are we doing? As the Holy Spirit grows us in Christ, out of us flows love. Out of us flows love. As we live in the freedom of Christ, the love of Christ flows. And you know and I know, when people come into our lives who start to judge us, who start to condemn us, who start to criticize us, what happens to our heart? As we crumble, we start to become judgmental. We start to become condemning. We start to become critical. Stand firm then. You can see why Paul said what he said. Let them. And he said some really nasty words about them. Because how much better is the love of Christ flowing in this freedom? Let's continue as we get to verse 7. Where he talks now about the race. You were running a good race, who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth. So one of the things that the Spirit of God works within us as we're running the race is to separate truth from lies. And for those of you that are new to the Christian faith, it's one of the reasons why we try here to look at what the passage says and long for you to learn to do that on your own. Because the truth in Christ sets us free. And it also keeps us in that freedom. One of the reasons why memorizing scripture can be helpful to us is that when those lies start to come at us and we start to feel the lies and then think the lies and we start to find our running slow down, we find that truth coming back to us and the Spirit of God reminding us of a truth that we formerly learned. The Spirit of God doesn't only give us understanding of truth, but He reminds us of that truth when we're in a situation where we're facing lies. That suddenly a scripture comes to mind, a story comes to mind, some truth that a person, a servant of Christ, spoke to us about living in the grace of Christ. So part of the work of the Spirit is that we remember the truth that we are to obey, which is freedom in Christ. And then look at verse 10. We see another thing that the work of the Spirit begins to do in us. I am confident in the Lord that you will take, you will possess, you will pull to yourself no other view. That one of the works of the Holy Spirit in us is we start to evaluate the viewpoints of others. Not simply the individual things we say, but you know, as I think logically about what the person is saying, in light of the cross of Christ, in light of the truth of Christ, that can't be true and that true. And then it's a matter of choice. I am not going to take on that view, even though I'm facing a lot of pressure to do so, because this is the view that leads me to live in the freedom of Christ. And then let's look at two more of the ways the Spirit of God in us seeks to direct us. Look at verse 11. This one's a bit painful. He says, brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, if I'm not preaching the offense of the cross, why am I still being persecuted? One of the problems of living in the freedom of Christ, especially around the cross of Christ, in the grace of Christ, is that it will lead to persecution. But notice where the persecution was coming at Paul. These were people who said they were Christians, but you needed to add circumcision to it. These are people within the Christian community, within the believing community, who are saying grace is not enough. The cross of Christ is not enough. You need to add this, you need to add this, you need to add this, you need to add this. And for you to say, no, Scripture says that's not true, it will lead to persecution. And it will be painful. And it sometimes will come at you from brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's painful. And finally, in verses 13 through 15, another work of the Spirit within us, which is a broader topic which we'll get into more next week. I've just phrased it, the Spirit of God within us says, use your freedom well. It's almost as if we're in the midst of this freedom with all of these things stirring within us by the Holy Spirit. And we say, wow, what am I to do now? And the Spirit within us says, use your freedom well. But what am I supposed to do? What's the will of God for me in my life? Use your freedom well. Yeah, but surely, what if I miss the mark? What if I go down this path instead of this path? Use your freedom well. And then he says some specific things about that freedom. You were called to be free. So, reminding us, you're called to be free, my child. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. And he gets pretty detailed next time. But he reminds us of one aspect of the flesh in verse 15. If you bite and devour each other, that's the work of the flesh. Watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So the work of the flesh within us, fighting against the work of the Spirit, which is strong in those who belong to Christ, it is something we need to choose not to indulge. And again, the Spirit of God within us is working in us with the power of the gospel, such that when we feel powerless, starting to believe the lies, we stand in the truth of Christ and find ourselves able to fight those very awful works of the flesh, particularly in our relationships with one another, that can be so biting, that can be so devouring, that can be so destroying. And then he says, instead, okay, as you use your freedom well, serve one another humbly in love. And then he says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Be careful. Jesus fulfilled the law. So don't think, oh, now here's a law that I need to fulfill. Love your neighbor. So what does it mean to walk by faith? Love your neighbor. No. You've just done it. You did it. You just added this weight on you. Christ has fulfilled the law perfectly. He loved God perfectly. He loved his neighbor perfectly. So that through the cross of Christ, we're in the freedom. All that they're saying is, as the Spirit of God works within you, as you begin to love humbly, as you begin to serve, you're actually giving expression to the law that Jesus fulfilled. Don't make this a law now that you have to fulfill. Christ has fulfilled the law, and now by his Spirit is allowing us to begin to walk, in the freedom for which he created us. Did I add any to-do lists? If you walk out of here with a to-do list and not with greater attentiveness to what the Spirit of God is working in you, then I have missed and I have failed, even though I still stand in the freedom of Christ. For those of you that are not followers of Jesus, the Spirit of God working within you wants to lead you to the cross of Christ so you may enter into this freedom. And for the rest of us, may the Spirit make us attentive to his directions for living in the freedom of Christ.